Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today we journey to Baguio City, Philippines, and our guests are Albert Sotelo and Kevin Mize. I'll tell you a little bit about each of them. Albert, 59 years old, and Kevin, 56 years old, have been together for 19 years and married for 12 years. They moved to Baguio City, Philippines, 8 years ago as a prelude to retirement. Albert was a former operations specialist with American Airlines in Dallas, while Kevin was a former clinical research coordinator for Alcon Industries in Fort Worth. Albert also was a former Subway Sandwiches franchisee in Virginia, while Kevin was a former chef in Little Rock, where they initially met. It was these foodie-like mindedness that made them consider opening a Southern cuisine diner and bed and breakfast. Their Ozark Diner was recently included in the prestigious list of best restaurants in the Philippines of 2022. They are also Airbnb superhosts since 2017. While their business currently caters to domestic tourists, Albert is currently a Tourism Council board member promoting retirement tourism in the city. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. It's afternoon here in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's the wee hours of the morning in the Philippines, like six in the morning. Yes. In the Philippines. So thank you for joining us that early in the morning with coffee in hand. And welcome, guys, to the podcast.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you move from exactly, and why did you choose Baguio City for retirement?
We were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We were in Grand Prairie. That's where we lived in the States. And then we moved to the Philippines, and we were in Manila for a year or two making our plans before we moved up to Baguio. We moved to Baguio because of the weather. It's a tourist town. It's much prettier up here. There's lots of mountains, pine trees, that sort of thing. And it's cool, nice and cool.
Excellent. And tell us, geographically speaking, where is Baguio City in the Philippines? And kind of give us, our audience, an idea of where the Philippines is located itself.
The Philippines are in the Pacific Ocean. We are east of Korea, kind of, or
southeast. We are part of Southeast Asia. If you're looking at the map from the United States, i.e. California, you go further west all the way until you hit land, you would hit Tokyo. Point south of that, we are directly underneath Japan and Taiwan. It is a group of islands, about 7,500 islands. We are currently in the largest one, which is the northern part. Yeah. And within that island, farther even north of that, about two-thirds up, will be a group of mountains. This particular one splits in two. We are on the left-hand side, which is called the Cordillera. There's a difficult R there for you guys. Cordillera, which is a mountain range akin to the Ozark Mountains.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So, okay. I think this is our furthest podcast that we've had, actually, with anyone. So you're the furthest away from, I guess, the States. So, all right. So
I believe the first in Asia, and I'm glad you chose us.
Yes. 'Cause yes.
There are quite a few expats from the U.S. here now, and yeah, quite a few expats that are gay also in the Philippines.
Well, I'm glad I got to speak with you guys. It's definitely an honor.
Good to be here. As I've told you earlier, I've been a follower of your Where Do Gays Retire on Facebook for quite some time before you even built your website.
Albert, I remember. I remember the days when we had our little Zoom meetings. I believe you attended those as well. And you were from the early days when I first started. You were right there.
Just like yourself, the question itself is also our question.
Where do gays retire?
That's right. We had that same exact question while we were still in Dallas.
And look where you wound up.
Yeah. That's right.
So now we're kind of build it and they will come kind of right. situation.
And what's so interesting, Mark, let me just add this real quick. What's interesting is the idea of the Philippines did not even come from me directly. It was actually our friends in Dallas that pointed it out to say, why are we moving to Costa Rica when we don't have to learn another language if we go to the Philippines? Don't they speak English in the Philippines? And of course, the resounding answer was yes. I totally forgot that the Filipinos actually study English in school as part of the lingua franca.
That's amazing. So while you were in Dallas, somebody pointed out that why don't you look at the Philippines because they speak English, and you went ahead and checked it out.
Of course, they had to ask if everyone else spoke just like myself. Well, just like any other place, English might be the first language. In our case, it is a dual language type of country. We do have a certain accent, and it's actually a Philippine accent, isn't it?
Right, yeah, it is a Philippine accent. So sometimes they're trilling R's, and like fries and rice sound alike. Fries, rice. And so you really have to pay attention to catch it. But, you can speak English when you go to the grocery store or you go to the hardware store. Someone there is going to be able to help you in English. And when you go to the movies, you go see the brand new big Marvel movie. It's in English. You're not reading subtitles like a foreign art film for a big blockbuster movie.
That makes things quite easy. Yeah. I mean, it makes things a lot more comfortable coming from another country.
Get out. You don't have to stay in your little gated community. You can go out in the big country and live in the country, not in a tiny little...
A little observation of mine when I went to Puerto Rico. Just like the Philippines, Puerto Rico ended up to be part of the United States at the same time from the Treaty of Paris. My visit there, I started noticing that people spoke some English, but not as much as we did here in the Philippines. So while they have a dual language situation in Puerto Rico just as much as we did, we actually spoke better.
Wow, that's amazing.
Think about it. Have you spoken to some Puerto Rican Americans? Their accent is a whole lot thicker than ours.
It is. It actually is. Yeah. I mean, I come from New York City, so many Puerto Rican people live in New York City. Mm-hmm. So,
and you can easily tell by their accent that they are Puerto Rican.
Yep. Absolutely. So let's talk about living in an LGBTQ community. Is there such thing as that in the Philippines, in Baguio City, where you are? Or is it just like a live and let live type thing? What is the vibe there?
It's a little in the middle. We have Gay Pride Parade every year that Albert and I are very involved in and big sponsors of. But the bars are a little more... It's not like in the U.S. where you can just go out to the nightclub. If that's the life, if that's gay community, then it's just here a little bit, maybe about 20%. But people leave you alone. It's a very Catholic country, but they don't bother you. It's more classist than homophobic. So if you have money and a nice house and a good car, then you're treated just like everybody else. They're more likely to treat poor people badly than gay people.
Hmm. Interesting. Is same-sex marriage legal in the Philippines?
Not yet. I think in the next couple of years, there are several politicians at the higher levels that are trying to get through same-sex marriage. And it looks like they'll be able to, but it may take another 2 years.
Are you guys married? Are you guys married from the States?
We're married in the States, but they don't
recognize it. They don't recognize it. They don't recognize it in the Philippines.
Well, they do and they don't.
Yeah.
Because externally, as far as the law says, Kevin is not qualified for any residential status as a spouse. However, locally, since the immigration people are our customers, they give him extra leverage.
Yeah. So even though the law says that I can't stay on a spouse visa, the local immigration office treats me like a spouse and gives me pretty much all of the benefits of being a spouse.
Because they know you?
That just kind of on the fly, ad hoc.
Because they know you.
Because they know us.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
There's only a few gay couples in Baguio City, and we just happen to be one of those that got catapulted to our current popularity because of our biscuits.
And we have to explain that a little bit because of the diner situation that you opened there. That's very successful. So, okay. And yeah, we'll give you that time to plug also the diner and your business. So I guess not living in an LGBT community is not important because there really isn't one there because of the legal system. Okay. But I know there's got to be many gay people in Baguio City.
Oh, there are. Yeah. The annual gay parade we have since we've actually moved here, they already had one every year. And so we came in and joined their group and ended up to be part of the board. Because we were, at this point, for the past 4 years, we are the largest sponsor of the Gay Pride Parade.
Well, you're influencers, so you got to influence the government to legalize that, too.
Oh, yeah. We are.
And part of that activism, and I want to say we were part and parcel of the discrimination law in our city, which was promulgated in 2018. And that's because of our combined efforts with the local gay community and us joining in.
Right. And talking to city councilors and the mayor, things like that.
Kudos to you guys. You guys are my heroes. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, we wanted Baguio to be a livable city for us, not only on an economic basis, but also as a social basis.
Excellent.
And we're very much involved. Like the one partner we have, there's another couple that's also a very active couple in the gay community here. They are pastor of a gay church.
MCC. Yeah, the local MCC church.
Yes.
And they perform holy unions on a very regular basis. There are so many people coming up to this city for weddings. And I think pretty much they're the only ones that actually do weddings in the Philippines.
Right.
They do gay weddings?
Yes.
Yeah.
But how is that?
It doesn't have any legal.
Okay.
But it's a celebration and religious and, yeah.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Okay. So are there any gay bars at all?
There are. Well,
there are.
Yeah.
There's at least three right now.
Yeah.
We're too old for that bar.
You're not.
their customers are 18 and above because you're allowed to drink alcohol here from 18 on.
Okay.
And so the age range is about 18 to 25, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the young... we don't have a coffin or a gay bar for old people.
Yeah. No wrinkle room.
Okay, I hear you. Give us an idea. What's the population of Baguio City? Do you know?
Albert knows that.
A better measure of it was during the pandemic, where it was 326,000 residents that were registered. But right now that the city has opened again, there's a lot of migrant workers. And when I say migrant, that means people from outlying areas outside of the Metroplex. So in and out throughout the weeks, we'll have a range of about 500,000 to about a million. Included that would be the tourists. Okay. So we have migrant workers and tourists. I'd say about a million to 1.5 million on peak periods like Christmas. In fact, the entire city of Manila empties out, which is the capital city south of us, empties out during big holiday weekends. And that would mean a majority of them ended up in the city, where we have bumper-to-bumper traffic everywhere.
Wow.
It's one of those popular cities where you take a drive. When you feel like just driving out of the city, this is where you come.
Okay. All right. So it's a popular tourist destination.
Yeah.
It's, I think, one of the top three in the Philippines. Number one being Boracay. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably would have heard of the white sands of Boracay in the Philippines. It's been heralded by several news magazines and travel magazines as either number one or number five or number six, depending on which magazine you look at. This is in the world.
Yeah, like in Condé Nast, Traveler, things like that.
There's also Tessa, which is in the province of Palawan. That's the new frontier of resorts being built, being also in the top amongst the best beaches in the world. And then there is Baguio City, the only odd mountainous place in the entire Philippines. That's where we are.
Right. So
there's,
if your vision,
be a reason.
Of, when someone says the Philippines, if your vision is beaches and palm trees and banana trees, that's not here. This is mountains and cold air and pine trees and that sort of a location.
Gotcha.
Right now, it's early morning. It's probably about 12 degrees Celsius, which is 58 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's not bad. We're waking up here in Phoenix at 30, mid 30s right now. So that's, we're in like a little cold snap. So,
a week ago, there was a frost warning in some of the peaks, mountain peaks just close by.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
So I expect lettuce to be expensive this week.
Okay. So, guys, do you find it difficult or easy to meet others and make friends as compared to other cities you've lived in? Or is it just about the same?
It's easy for us because we own a business. And so when people hear about us or have an idea of who we are, they come here and meet us. So that makes it a little easier for us personally. But that's why we're trying to build more of a retirement community, so that the people that are living here can make a nucleus where that can form.
So that segues us into, tell us about your business. So what kind of business do you have, and tell us how successful it is?
Well, let me talk about the diner first. That's what we opened first as we built the rest of it. The diner is an American diner, so we have biscuits and gravy. We make all of our own bacon and sausage and ham. Then we add different dishes. We change our menu pretty often, so it's like a purlieu. We've done gumbo, etouffee, those kinds of things go on and off as specials. So we keep the menu small, but we keep changing it. Anything Southern, but we're trying to use local ingredients. We try not to import things. So like, we don't bring in Old Bay seasoning anymore. We make our own blend from what we find here to try to be as local as possible. So we started with that. And then as that developed, we've built our bed and breakfast. We have a second building that has 6 units, and we have 1 unit in the building where we are now. The building we live in, the diner, and one unit of B&B are all in the first building, and then six units other.
How many square feet are we?
I figured that it was the high 7,000s. So, like, when someone from the States asks me about my house, oh, it's a 7,000 square foot, 11 bedroom, 11 bath, 4 half bath house mansion, which is basically what we've built. But, you know, we're renting out.
But you're renting out six units.
Yeah, 60% of it we're renting out.
And we built it from scratch. So everything here was built from scratch, from the ground up.
Right.
So we had a lot to do with the architectural design of it. And, of course, the headaches that came along with it.
Yeah.
It was new to us to build from scratch, let alone build in a place we had no idea how to work things out. But we made it. Within the two-year period, we were able to finish pretty much most of it. It was livable at that point.
Right.
So you moved from the States to the Philippines, and then you decided to open up the diner, and it's called the Ozark Diner.
When we moved here, we had about 100 business ideas. We had a list of things we could do. Some of it was manufacturing. Some of it was writing, creative stuff, and then these things. So we had all of these ideas. So then we started whittling that down, and we started, when we were still in Manila, we started making cookies and cheesecakes and selling them at night markets. They have like a little night hawker market, but there's like a higher end one. And then we would sell at the embassy women's auxiliary, would have a monthly sale, and we would sell there. And we started doing that because when I first moved here, I don't even know how much a sack of flour costs or who to buy that from. When you move into a new neighborhood, like you've moved around, you don't even know what grocery store to go to, right?
Right.
So now take that and think about cooking commercially, how much more difficult that might be.
Oh, my God. So it'd be mind-blowing.
We started at that level. And the other part of that plan was it got us out into the community. It got us publicity. Before we ever even moved to Baguio, we were already in the Entrepreneur magazine for the Philippines because of what we were working on. And it gave us a location where we could talk to people. And all of those people that were our customers back then, when we had a little 6-foot table outside at night, selling cookies and cheesecake, those are our customers now that come and stay in the bed and breakfast. So we built that customer base in Manila, and now that we're in Baguio, those are still our customers.
Okay, so you started off in Manila.
Right. So we started off slow, built it up, moved here, got the diner going, living here above the diner, and then built everything else, and now it's all going.
8 years later, and here we are. We're one of the best restaurants in the country, and I'd say the most popular bed and breakfast in this city.
And the Philippines, a lot like the U.S., the average lifespan of a restaurant is about a year and a half. So if you have a restaurant that's been going for 8 years, that means you should be able to go.
You're doing something right.
Right.
You're doing something right. Wow. I'm speaking to entrepreneurs at its very best.
Well, we are. I graduated with my master's degree in business here in the Philippines from one of the best business schools. And so we attack moving as a strategic plan on what to do for our life. And then parcel that into what kind of business should you get into? Is this something that you always wished? So if you ask me, this was my dream 20 years ago.
Wow. And look at you now.
Right.
And let me tell you something that Kevin has heard this plenty enough. I actually strategically only dated chefs.
Why? Because you wanted to be provided for?
No.
With good food? With good food?
I needed someone that would be my equal.
Yeah.
And I am a foodie. I own a restaurant. Though he did own his restaurant, he was the chef.
And I've That's always great. Been kind of an intellectual snob. When I was in third grade, we had a writing assignment. In third grade, they asked us to write down a list of the qualities in our spouse when we grow up and get married. And I had college educated on my list in third grade. And the teacher says, why do you have that? I said, well, I don't want to be married to someone stupid.
I love that.
So that was me even in third grade. So we actually, just as a tangent here, we've been together pretty much from our first date. We count our first date as our anniversary, not our marriage or when we moved in together. Those are all milestones and important, but our real anniversary is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And
how many
that's
years?
When he moved. It moves around a little bit, but that's what we celebrate as our anniversary, because he had moved to Little Rock as part of his job. And he said, well, let's go out to eat. So I thought I'd talk to him on the phone a little bit and online a little bit. And I think I really want to pull out all the stops on this one. So I took him to a restaurant that the chef was someone that I had worked with before when I was in culinary school and becoming a chef. He's the guy that I worked with, and I knew he would have something good. So when I take him out to eat, we go in the front door, and the maitre d' knows my name and seats me and brings me special stuff that's not on the menu. And the chef comes out of the kitchen, and the sommelier already knows what I like. And so,
mind you, when we went out to dinner, I had no idea that he was a chef. Or oh, a former wow. chef. And he did not know that I owned a restaurant.
Wow, isn't that something?
So for us to go on a first date, knowing that there might be a possibility of a new friend here, and that's it. Because I was moving to the city, and you just had to meet people. And I thought, why not? So I asked.
Wow, what a story. And it was like really a blind date. You didn't know.
Yeah, it was. First meeting.
Because we only met online a week before.
Wow. How many years was that now since you met?
2003.
Yeah.
2003. Time flies when you're having fun.
It'll be 20 years next
20
year.
20 years. It's a long time.
Well, later this year.
Yep. And congratulations. Congratulations. That is great. So you also mentioned something about, if I can recall, future plans like a retirement community. Did you mention that?
Right. Right now we're running as a Airbnb bed and breakfast. But as we retire, we want to convert those into longer term stays. People that might want to come and spend 6 months or maybe a year or maybe the rest of their retirement. Each of the rooms is big enough. Each room is about 350 to 375 square feet. So they each have a little kitchenette and it's an open plan where they can stay longer.
Fully furnished.
Right. Bed.
Fully furnished.
Chairs, table, there's cooking, microwave, two burner stove.
So there might be a lot of work. There might be a lot of work at the moment because we're turning every 2 nights. We have a minimum of 2 nights for most weekends. But as we get older, the idea is to just start converting from maybe one, maybe three of those units to long-term. And that would be less work. And by the way, we have staff that does all the work for us.
Yeah.
It's not like I have to change sheets or clean bathrooms.
Right.
We have four staff members. But that's everything. That's the diner and the bed and breakfast. That's everything. And keeping care of us.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So I know that in the Philippines, they speak English. But so you wouldn't say speaking Filipino is a must.
It's not a must. It's helpful. When I go to the public market, the outdoor one to buy produce and things, I know the words for everything. And a lot of times I know enough. Tagalog is the loch. I know enough of it to know what people are talking about, but I have trouble calling up the word to say. But I can get along fine.
Yeah, that's. I think that's with any language. Like, we're trying to learn Spanish, my husband more than me. And when it comes to saying the word, actually thinking right. about what to say, that's the most difficult part. Mm-hmm. Understanding, you might understand yeah. the words coming out of someone's mouth, but conversational is a little
but
bit.
But that's actually kind of helpful because they assume you don't speak Tagalog and they say something in front of you that they don't want you to know. And you know it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So tell us, what is the local economy like? Can you provide examples like housing, both purchasing or rental, two bedroom, two bath, let's say that with, and utilities. Can you give the audience an example of what somebody might purchase or rent, how much it would cost in the Philippines, Baguio?
That is a very good question. A lot of the expats would ask such questions, even in our local expat forum for in general, not just the gays. Apartments here are fairly easily found because there's a lot of condos that are being built where a lot of people would invest in condos and live in it maybe 2 years as their vacation home. So a lot of these vacation homes, after maybe 3-4 years, they get tired of it and they start renting it out for long term. And so those range around 20,000 pesos to about 40,000 pesos in a decent size. Let's just say about, what, 800 square feet?
Yeah.
About 800 square feet for a two-bedroom or maybe even three-bedroom in a nicer location would go from 40,000, which is about $900, and then lower. Now, if you want something posh to build, we're looking at properties where you have a cut of about 200 square meters, which is about, what?
2,000 square feet?
400,000 pesos?
Yeah, 400,000. I was thinking of square feet. So let's just say
from meters to feet, just multiply by 10.
Right.
If someone says that something is 35 square meters, that's 350 square feet.
50, right.
We're a little off, but close enough.
So let's just say it's a 2,000 square foot property. That would, you could buy one if you were actually a Filipino at about 10,000 pesos, which is, what, $2,000?
Yeah.
About $2,000 per square. So let's just say it's about 5 million for a property.
5 million pesos.
5 million pesos.
You need to say pesos in
yeah.
U.S.
When you're which is how much like in U.S.? How much, so, how much in U.S. dollars?
5,000 pesos, it's about 1,000.
Yeah. No,
50,000 pesos is 50,000 US.
50,000 pesos is about 1,000 US.
So about $300 to $500 is the mid range, and then $900 to rent would be fairly decent,
right?
With a nice view.
Yeah.
So $900 a month with that, that's like saying a nice condo or home for 2,000.
Right.
I'm sorry, two bedroom, two bath, you'd think?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty reasonable. And how about to purchase a house or a condo?
Any expat can purchase a condo because that does not involve land ownership. And the condos range from 5 million. To maybe 7 million would be a nice condo. Next to us, about 100 feet from us, is a condo targeting students, which is the university next to us. Their prices are only about 1.5 million about how much is that?
That's $30,000.
Yeah, so $30,000
to buy
a condo, yeah.
Or lease it for, I don't know, 99 years or whatever.
Okay, so if you're not Filipino, you cannot buy property?
Right.
Okay.
But you can do 99-year leases.
Okay. And a condo, you own the apartment, but condo you own...
Yeah.
Yeah.
own your unit, and then you would probably pay, it would be small amount of annual, of monthly.
HOA fee.
HOA fees, yeah. But it would be minimal. It would maybe be, I don't know, $15.
Oh, wow. And how about utilities?
For a single person moving to the Philippines to stay long term, we're thinking somewhere around $500 for the apartment.
Yeah.
And then another $500 for his allowance for expenses would be a decent amount. If you have any more than $1,000 to $2,000, you'll be living large.
Right.
You'll be our customer. Because you could be a regular customer at Ozark for monies more than $1,000 a month.
Excellent. Excellent. So, okay, give us an example of electricity bills. So you live in the mountains. Do you need air conditioning at all?
Right. We have no air conditioning or heating.
Oh,
The temperature here is between 60 and 75, 95% of the year. So nearly all the time. It may dip a little bit lower than that, and it may get a little bit hotter than that a couple of days a year, but that's it.
Yeah. So for our 10-bedroom, 13-bath house with a diner, we're paying somewhere in the neighborhood of 15,000 pesos, which converts to about $300.
Wow.
But that's a business.
Right.
So think about a house. It'll be way less than that.
Oh, yeah.
Because the power generation for air conditioning would be pretty high. Much like in the U.S., if you have a heater going on, that would make it high. Where here, you don't need those. So
yeah, just think my
for electricity is
5,000 pesos.
Yeah, 5,000 pesos, which is about $100.
Yeah, that's about $100. $100 a month on electricity.
For a 2-bedroom home, maybe 3-bedroom home.
I think electricity, water, and internet, if you combined all of those, it'd be about $150 a month.
That's amazing. That's amazing to me. Here in Phoenix, I'm living in a condo, figure 1,700 square feet.
Yeah.
Electricity in the summer gets close to 300.
Right.
For air conditioning.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't really cool everything off great, but.
And food is cheaper here too. Like when I'm buying produce, green leaf lettuce is 50 pesos per kilo. That's $1. $1 for 2.2 pounds.
Wow.
Of lettuce.
It is cheap.
And so, you guys are so used to a pound as a measure for vegetables. So let's just say 50 cents for every kind of vegetable that you find.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cheap. So, okay.
That's one of the good things about living where we're here now. We're talking about how it was a tourist destination. The other thing about Baguio is it's also a college town, so there's a lot of younger people here. But then all of the areas surrounding the city are all agricultural. So we have local potatoes and carrots and lettuce and that sort of thing.
All right. So, yeah, very economical.
Yeah.
You told us briefly about the climate. How are the summers? Are they so they don't get hot and humid?
It's pretty much the same.
The same?
It's raining like or not raining.
Okay. So it's the same climate around all year long, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
So instead of summer, winter, or the four seasons that you have, we have two. It's rain
or no rain.
Yeah. The first year we were here, it rained every day for 30 days, not just the afternoon showers. Like that's a normal thing. Like I don't count that as rain, but 30-minute afternoon shower, that's not really rain. By rain for 30 days, I mean all day long, it was at least drizzling.
Wow.
Baguio gets 15 feet of rain every year.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
They talk about how they have a water problem when we're trying to buy water. So, no, you don't have a water problem. You have a water storage problem.
Right. You do. Absolutely. So, okay, climate is pretty much rain or no rain. So do you have any sort of culture and art scene in Baguio? Is there museums? Is there theater?
Yes.
Can you go to a movie?
There's one museum, Ben Cab Museum. It's a man's name. He's one of their national artists, and he has a museum that if you plunked it down in Dallas-Fort Worth, which I think is one of the best museum towns in the U.S., he would thrive. There's a lot of Philippine national art, and there's modern art, and then he has a couple of rooms that have older heritage items and furniture items that were carved by the local people. If you go back 400 years, this area is known for its wood carving. So when the Acapulco Spanish galleon would come to the Philippines, they would load up on half of the cathedrals in Mexico. All of that wood carving was done in the Philippines 400 years ago.
Wow.
So there's that kind of culture.
And then part of it is the fact that we've been bestowed Disco City for the Arts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it has changed some over the last few years that even as long as we've been here, there are more theater groups and arts groups and improv comedy and that sort of thing, all starting and developing and thriving. So,
and will you find that in English?
Yes. Well, a combination.
Okay. At least you might be able to go see a live show and understand in English and understand. So that's definitely a plus. Okay. So I'm not going to ask you if you're a foodie, because that was one of my questions, because without a doubt, you're a foodie. Are there any other are there any other international cuisine type restaurants in the city that you can go to?
There's several really good Filipino places, but you also find a lot of other Asian type restaurants, Japanese, Chinese, Singaporean here.
Thai.
Yeah.
Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Pakistani, Indian.
You will find
Middle
that.
Eastern.
And you won't find Mexican, right?
Actually, Mexican. There is. Yeah. There's a place called Chimichanga that has a decent chimichanga.
Who knew?
And their quesadilla is not bad either. So that's expanding. Yeah.
Oh, so you do have a choice.
Two of our four cats behind us photobombing.
So you do have a choice of cuisine if you wanted to go out to something different. Do you guys do you ever go out? Because you cook yourself, so.
Yeah, we go out just to see what everyone else is doing.
Okay.
And, let me say this about Baguio. Okay, so, no, it's good.
Okay.
So, the Philippine version of Esquire magazine had its best restaurants of the Philippines, the entire country, okay? There are 60 restaurants on that list. We're one of them. But 20 of those 60, a full third of the best restaurants in the Philippines, were in Baguio.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Right. So
because it's a tourist town. So think about New Orleans.
Right.
Like if you go to New Orleans, if you have friends that live down there, they're going to take you to eat in Metairie across the river.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Because the restaurants in the French Quarter are for
tourists
show up once every 4 years. But that same restaurant, if it's over in Metairie, they have to bring in the people every month, every week.
Right. And you know, that's the authentic.
So that's the way it kind of is. Yeah.
Gotcha. I understand. Perfect. So tell us about public transportation. Do they have any? Is there a traffic situation? I'm sure during tourist season,
yes,
it gets heavy in traffic.
Our traffic fluctuates a lot. It depends. On the weekends, it does get a little worse because of all of the tourists that do come in. But there's a long-term plan that I think will fix a lot of that. And I think as we go along in the next few years, there'll be fewer and fewer private vehicles out there. And there's a lot of public transport the Philippines has this mode of traffic moving around called a jeepney. Jeep, N-E-Y, jeepney. What they did after World War II is they took the army jeeps and they did kind of like a limousine stretch on them so that they're longer. And then there's two benches facing each other. And that is like super cheap. It's like it's 7.5 pesos or something like that.
Those 10 pesos, which is about a quarter.
About a quarter to ride. Now, those aren't super comfortable. You're sitting on a bench with a bunch of people and you're close to each other and you can go that way. There's 4,000 taxis in this city. So you can take a taxi and it's a little over 100 pesos to go into town. That would be $2. $2 for your taxi ride into town and back. And so, that's just you.
So expats here, they don't even buy a car because there's so many modes of transportation and a taxi is so cheap. Part of it, too, is you only ride if you live further from the city center. When I was in the center, they just walk.
Right.
So a bunch of your audience in the chats have talked about a walkable city. We definitely are a walkable city and a bicycle city.
Yeah. There's bicycle lanes on the edge now through a lot of the city.
Is the downtown, is it an actual downtown with buildings or is it more?
Think about small town USA. We have a main street. It's called Session Road.
Okay, and with shops and stores, and you can, if you live there, like I'm assuming people live in Center City, and is it self-sufficient like in Europe where you can walk to the market, you could walk to the bank, you could walk to the pharmacy, you could walk to the doctor?
Yes.
Is that how it is there? Okay. And if you had to go out further, you can take those cheap modes of transportation. Right,
$2 for a taxi.
Wow.
After you've lived here, you make friends with a taxi driver and he's on call. So instead of just going out and trying to hail down a taxi, you call his, text his cell phone number and he shows up and takes you where you need to go.
So it's almost like a person-to-person arrangement.
Yeah.
If you have to do an errand every Thursday, just get in touch with your regular guy to come pick you up.
Yeah. It a lot of things here are relationships. So like when I go to the public market to buy produce, the Tagalog word is suki, S-U-K-I, suki is your regular vendor. Okay. So I know who my regular people are. Like this is the guy I go to for onions. This is the guy I go to for bananas. This is the guy, this is the lady for lettuce. And they're They're going to give me my good price. Yeah. Well, it's important to have a good banana person because it's not like the States. You have those big Cavendish crappy bananas. Here, there's 10 varieties of bananas to pick from.
Wow.
So you need to know.
You have to know your bananas. You have to have a banana lady or a banana man.
You have to have a banana lady. but you develop that relationship with her and then you know that you're getting the best price, and she knows that if she doesn't give you the best price, if you find out that someone else is selling cheaper and that she's been inching the price up on you, that she's not your banana lady anymore.
You're gonna switch banana ladies.
That's right.
And she's gonna be out. It makes sense. It all makes sense. So, okay. Would you say if you work there, would you be better off living by your work? Or has the pandemic kind of changed that and people work from home?
If you're going to work here, you're better off working in your home. So you're the jobs that you should have are teaching English online, or you're doing encoding or some sort of online thing that you can do through your computer. If you're going to work, look for a job, say in a hospital or in a store or something, you have to have a separate kind of visa. And that might be a little harder to get to.
To obtain.
Uh-huh. Because your employer has to pay quite a bit to get you that visa. So if you're a professional like a college professor or a doctor or a nurse, you might be able to get that. But if you're not one of those type of professions, I don't think you would really work. You need to come here when you're ready to retire or just work part-time teaching English. We have several friends that teach English online. One of our friends, he's English expat. He teaches Russians English, Russian businessmen. That is his niche. He doesn't just teach English. He teaches English to Russians. And he has, I don't know, probably 10 different clients.
It's a business level English.
Right.
They cover a news magazine, for instance, an economic magazine, and then discuss it.
Right.
In an open conversation as part of the training.
So they have to read an article in English for comprehension, and then they have a discussion to go back and forth. And we know other people that have done the same thing only with Koreans. Like, that's their only customers are Koreans. In Korea, to go to college, you have to know English. So a lot of Koreans come to the Philippines to learn English, and then they go back and go to college.
Interesting.
So these are interim jobs leading to retirement, or even when you retire and you feel like it.
Right.
There are online jobs that you can do for maybe 4 hours a day or maybe 3 hours just to while your time to still be busy enough and have some gainful employment. But ideally, if you are retired in the Philippines, you live off of your savings / Social Security from the United States or elsewhere. Because we do have expats from other countries that choose to live in the Philippines and still carry on with their online jobs. And the expectation now with the nomadic lifestyle, we are starting to get longer-term tenants or asking to be longer-term tenants, where they can carry their job where they are originally, like say from the U.S., to come here and continue the same job because of the internet connection.
Yeah.
And their employers would know any better because, hey, the background is pine trees.
Yeah.
That's true. So, okay. So that brings us, we can skip around a little bit and bring us into How do you obtain a visa to become a resident, either permanent or temporary in the Philippines?
There are four visa types available, and this is on the webpage of the immigration office. It's visas for seniors. It ranges from the age of 50 until way past, older. And depending on what kind you avail, there is about, what do you call this? A deposit?
Right. There's
an escrow.
They keep on.
Of $20,000 is the highest. And then $10,000 is the next tier. And then there's a special one for foreign service members in the armed forces of the United States, where they only have to pay $1,500.
Right.
Wow.
So anyone with military background can actually get a senior visa for 1,500 pesos.
And former service members can also use their VA benefits here.
Oh, interesting. So you said 1,500 pesos.
I'm sorry, that was $1,500, sorry.
Dollars, okay.
Yeah, and the reason for that is the immigration office, while enticing retirement tourism, they also want to stay away from the indigent retirees.
Right.
Okay.
So they look at how much your pension, your Social Security, the different levels of that, whether you need to pay $10,000 or $20,000, depends on how much set income you're going to have. So if you have a pension, that's a one time and Social Security, you're going to be at that lower price. But if you can't prove that you're going to have this steady monthly income, then it's the higher price. And they do that so that they can send you back.
So it's a one-time fee?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's still yours. It's just kept in escrow, but you don't get it back until you can either change to a different category or you're going back to the States, and then you get all okay. of that back.
Okay. Interesting. So you either have to prove X amount of income or pay up put that in escrow.
Right.
Okay.
But it's not like it's a fee. You do get it back.
Right.
But you might not get it back until you decide to go back to the States or you die.
Oh, you die. Right. And that might be your heirs. Right. Your beneficiaries.
Uh-huh.
And the simple okay. part of that is that, like I said, the Philippine government does not want to invite everyone that does not have money.
Right.
Because you'll right. be a burden no. to the country.
Right.
Right. They don't want you to come to the country and have the country have to pay for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you need to be deported or your body needs to be sent back to the U.S., then they've got that to be able to pay those expenses so that
right.
it's not a burden to the Philippines.
Right. Understandable. Okay. And is there a temporary residence versus permanent? Or
there is. The you can come on a tourist visa, and you can stay for 3 years on a wow. tourist visa. You just have to go in every 6 months to an immigration office and pay probably about 40,000 pesos every 6 months, and you can stay for 3 years. 40,000, that's $850 every 6 months. Okay. And you can stay for 3 years. Now, that's what people need to do at first. If you've never been to the Philippines and you're thinking of retiring here, come on a tourist visa. And stay for 6 months, a month, and get a feel for how it is.
Yeah.
And for U.S. passport holders, you can enter the Philippines without a visa. It's visa upon arrival.
Right.
Okay.
If you've got the blue passport, just come on in.
Oh, wow. That's pretty yep. interesting. And okay. Yep. And then you get a visa while you're here.
That's right.
Interesting. Very good. You guys are a wealth of knowledge.
I will say one of the challenges for living here, one of the reasons you need to come and try it out, is that it is a slower pace. Everything is at a little slower tempo. So if you're one of those people that wants to get things done and you want it now, no, relax, take a deep breath, and just go along. Like if you're in the States and you're going to buy a new laptop, you go to Best Buy, you pick up the box of the laptop that you want, you carry it to the front, and you go through the checkout, and you're back in your car, and you're going home, right? Here, you go in, and you look at a couple of different models, and you talk to the guy, and he might even have some in the back that aren't out on the front, and you need to have a conversation about that, and then you pick it out, and then they're going to take that laptop and they're going to open up the box and they're going to make sure that it has all of the Google apps that you like are already downloaded on it and that the computer works and that all of the cords are there and you have to look and see that all the cords are there and have a conversation about it. And so it's probably about an hour to buy that laptop. And so you just have to be ready for that and accept that that is life and that's the way it is.
Well, Kevin, I think that's pretty much true anywhere outside of the United States. Yes. The United States is like, right now, I want it now. I'm not waiting. Very impatient. Just give it to me now. Instant gratification. Everywhere else, not so much.
That's
right. It's like, take it easy. Uh-huh. We're in no rush.
Just take a deep breath. You're here.
Yeah.
This is the way it is.
This is just the way our culture is, so deal with it.
Uh-huh.
So I totally get it. Do you know, while we're on the visa question, do you know if the government provides any incentives for expats, such as purchasing real estate? So in other words, if I purchased real estate worth $500,000, would I get an instant residency, like a golden visa?
There is one. The threshold would be more of companies, not individuals. Oh. So if you were, say, to open a business in the Philippines as whatever type of business, from a small one to a big one, the law has just changed recently where you can actually own 100% of land if your business is of alternative energies. That's one. That's the latest one. And there's a few more. Medical, if you are into manufacturing anything in the medical field, mm-hmm. or providing something in the medical field beyond being just a doctor. And then for fuel also, like just old coal fuel and all that, and mining, you are now allowed to actually own property in the Philippines. That is fairly new. It's the current administration that has allowed this to come to pass as a law. So things are changing because they realize that a lot of people are interested in moving to the Philippines as a business. And we are wanting to entice, the government itself is enticing foreign investment. It was a major decision for this administration, which has been long asked for by the foreign investors. Because one of the competitive factors of the Philippines is we do have a lot of talent, but not a lot of capital. And to be toe-in-toe with Vietnam, Thailand, and all those emerging markets, we needed to be at their level to be competitive. And so here we are opening the gates for investors in specific fields of industry.
I think that's going to change a lot over the next couple of years. That's one of the areas that there's a lot of movement politically to make some changes. So look up on the Philippine websites because that's changing.
Okay. Very good. So tell us about crime. Is there any crime in the Philippines? Do you allow guns?
Well, the only crime that has ever happened to us in the past 8 years that we've been here is bad food.
That is a crime, isn't it?
It is a crime for us personally to be fed bad food.
Bad food. Oh,
we're
yeah, I can imagine.
We're very hard critics, though.
I could imagine. What are you serving me?
When someone is a chef.
That's so funny.
And they start serving you shit. I'm like, what are you thinking of?
Honestly, though, crime here is not as bad as it is in the U.S.
Not at all. There's personal crimes like there's rape or kidnapping.
Yeah.
And I say personal because these are usually people that know people.
Domestic abuse kind of things are probably worse here than they are in the States because it's a Catholic country. Sorry if I've offended Catholics by that, but not really. But as far as robberies and murder and those types of things, then it's not bad. You can have a gun, but you have to have a permit, and there are checkpoints that are checking for guns, especially around election time. And that sort of thing. It's a country that's had several political coups in the last 100 years. So they're a little careful about where the guns are. They do not want everybody to have guns. So it's not bad. Most of the people that get murdered did something to get murdered. Okay, they were selling drugs or they were in places they shouldn't be. So if you are a normal
drug lord
citizen, staying where you need to stay, doing what you need to do, then you're not in danger.
You're good.
Mark, I need to let this out. A lot of people are concerned about the peace and order situation in the Philippines. So I'd like to touch on that a little bit.
Sure.
Where we are in the north of the Philippines is largely a civilized area surrounded by agricultural areas. Where the hotbed is way south and west of the Philippines, in the general island of Mindanao, where we have Muslims, where the ISIS, the ISIS or the renegades from the Middle East started recruiting within the Muslim community of the South. Now, the Muslims in the Philippines are about, 10%? Of the religious affiliations.
And nearly all of that 10% are in the southernmost island.
So okay. If we were in, say, Texas, all of them are in the Brownsville, San Antonio area, where we're in the Dallas area.
Okay. Got it.
And that's been a recruitment base for them for, what, the past decade now?
Wow.
And so the U.S., the United States, is involved with the Philippines right now in two fronts. One is to fortify Chinese intrusion into the waters of the Philippines. And the other is to curb recruitment by the ISIS people for terrorists. If you would remember 9/11 in the United States, several of those combatants were actually trained and recruited from the Philippines.
Were they? Okay.
Hmm. Okay. So as far as that is, it's actually a very small portion of the Philippines as far as crime. So for it to be a national issue elsewhere in the world baffles us, because this is like a small area of the country way south where we're not involved at all. It does not even affect us at all on a daily basis. And then outside, it would be generalized as if we were in some crime-laden place like currently Ukraine.
Right.
Sand. Okay. Thank you for pointing that out.
It's a good, safe place to live up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the bottom line.
The bottom line, right. You don't have mass shootings?
No, we don't have those. That's an American thing.
Okay, so tell us about the healthcare.
One of the reasons we chose Baguio is because there are three good hospitals here in this town. Because it's a college town, it's an education town, there's also teaching hospitals here. And so that made a good environment for good healthcare. If you're in the United States and you go to the hospital, your nurse is Filipina. So she was trained here. So we have all of those here as well.
So, okay. Do they have enough physicians, doctors for the population?
Yes.
Is there a long wait, in other words, to get to see a doctor?
No, because you're going to have your own private doctor.
Is that private insurance?
We have PhilHealth, which is the
national insurance.
National insurance. And then we pay just out of pocket for a lot of our medical things. But it's cheaper here. So like what we're paying for our medications straight across the counter are about the same as what I would have paid if we were back in the States.
With
copays. So it's not that much. This last year, I had two cataract surgery on both eyes. And it came to 120,000 pesos, which is, five goes into
120,000 dollars.
Yeah. $2,000, both eyes. And I have like bionic vision now. I've worn glasses since I was in fourth grade. And right now is the best eyesight I have had in my entire life.
Wow. That's incredible. And so, did you pay $2,000 out of pocket, or did the national health care?
That was what my out of pocket was. The national health care paid for a little bit of that, maybe about 10%.
Okay. Okay. So even though, so something like $2,000 in the Philippines would probably have been $10,000 or $20,000 in the States.
Yeah.
How much is a cataract surgery in the United States currently?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Even if you had insurance, I think it's about $4,000 per eye.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's with insurance, you're paying something about $2,000.
After you put the podcast up, I'm sure they'll tell us in the comments.
Yeah. So, let's see. But average cataract surgery ranges from $1,600 to about $2,600, according to Medicare claims.
That's through Medicare claim. And so that's for the standard lens. I got like the top of the line lens.
Oh, and that's for standard. So, it says 4,000 to 6,000 per eye for laser-assisted cataract surgery or procedures.
There you go.
That's what he had.
Right.
Using advanced lens implants.
There you go. Say $4,000 to $6,000 per six, eye.
Per eye. So that's 12,000.
Both eyes. 1,000 per eye.
So let's say 12,000 because things aren't cheap here. So 12,000 for two eyes, 2,000 for two eyes where you are.
Right.
So that's just an example. And then Lastly, we had our friend Dan from Chicago, who actually lived with us, but until such a point where he cannot be, how do you say, he cannot, what do you call this? He needed to be on a more, a nursing care type of situation. Okay. He's a former priest, so he didn't have a lot of funds as a retiree. And now he is in a care home, which he chose to move back to the United States for. Yeah. And there he gets it free. So because he's a former priest, I guess they have their own connections on how to take care of
him. No, that either.
While he was here, we joked that his favorite hotel is the hospital. Because every time he went, he didn't care to pay for an overnight stay just to get checked up. Because he says it's so cheap.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than a hotel night stay in a 5-star hotel in the city.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Just to get checked up. So he had a pacemaker implanted in the United States, and he had to have it recalibrated here. And so they can do that here for way less than for him to go all the way back to the U.S.
Sure.
So
how about stuff then, like dental?
Yeah, like dental. You just walk into a clinic. There's so many dental offices here. And some of them even give it free for their students. Like after graduation, they have to at least work under, what do you call that? The residency.
Yeah.
Residency for a period. And to get the number of patients covered, they sometimes offer it free just to get the numbers in.
Right.
Hmm.
So like that's a teeth cleaning and maybe one filling would be about $20, $20. So
$20.
We have insurance. What did I just pay? But we don't need it. Yeah, your copay would be $30 at least.
Yeah. See, here it's like $200.
Yeah.
For a deep cleaning, and I go like 3 times a year.
Yeah.
So
just to clean.
Yeah, they wanted to fill, like remove a filling and replace it. Uh-huh. One tooth. And they gave me the estimate. It was $466. Just a filling.
Well, here that would be $20.
$20. It's funny. So funny.
I've noticed that the price range for medical expenses are at par with Mexico, and even cheaper. So in the last meeting we had with the Baguio Tourism Council, a new subsector was actually included, which is medical tourism.
Right.
And so I was so excited because I was right next to this guy, chit-chatting with him, and he says it's been a long time coming and that he's also glad that he finally got representation in the board, because they already started this in Manila, the center, the capital. But Baguio is a better place for recuperation, just as much as the Americans figured a century ago.
Yeah. One of the top cosmetic surgeons, plastic surgeons, in all of Asia is in Manila. And she has a big thriving practice. She's even had like some reality show kind of thing. She's a celebrity. And she's a millionaire, lots and lots of money. But people from all over Asia come to Manila
to
see her and have whatever procedure they want done.
So
facelifts and all that.
Their medical tourism idea is to actually have some sort of like a beautiful hotel resort type of thing built within the city, where they would have medical facilities for plastic surgeries and such, or whatever it is that women prefer to have done lately, and then be away from the public eye, as in concierge type.
Right.
Right. That's amazing.
Because it's reasonably cheaper than going elsewhere.
Yeah, it sounds like on par with Mexico. Pretty much.
Yeah, I've been following the threads on Ajiji.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Lake Chapala.
Yeah.
Those guys are very active, and they always talk about all these details. And I read it, and I'm like, oh, wait, we're just the same. And the cost, we're even cheaper sometimes.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's definitely something very interesting and something to look at for expats.
And there's, Mark, something that your audience would appreciate. There's a big history of the United States in the Philippines. And more so in this city, because this was the city that the Americans built in the turn of the century. And so a lot of the culture is still here. It's looking like me. My education is based upon the American system. And the businesses are run here just like the American system. We have a lot of companies in the U.S. that have decided to get their second offices in this country.
Yeah. And
we even have the largest BPO network in the entire world now, currently, because of the professionalism and just talent, work talent amongst Filipinos. And that goes back to the American system of education.
Yeah, I work in the financial industry, and our call centers for some of our Visa credit cards, debit cards, are all based, I don't know where in the Philippines, but I know it's in the Philippines. Yeah. And
some of them are here every day. Some of them are in this city.
Yeah,
we are in the Philippines. The Baguio City is the third largest hub for processing operations.
That's very interesting. So, yeah, I could be calling you your city every day for all I know.
Right.
Yeah.
If you call IHG, that's the International Hotel Group, the Hilton. Hiltons.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's here in Baguio. Wow.
That's interesting. Who knew? I would never know this stuff. I'm so glad to meet you guys and do this podcast.
Another very secretive manufacturer here in the Philippines is called Texas Instruments. If you remember the calculators back then,
yes,
Texas Instruments,
that's when
they now produce components for military hardware.
Yeah, it's super high security. Like, there's buildings that they don't even let people know that the building exists.
Gotcha. That's, who knew? You would never think. I would never think in a million years, Baguio City. I never even heard of Baguio City before you guys. So, is there anything in Baguio City that you don't have that you may have had in the U.S. or anywhere else that you kind of miss?
The only thing that I really import as far as food now is olive oil and Mexican chilies.
Okay. Nothing
else. But you can get them on Lazada, which is the Philippine equivalent of Amazon.
Okay.
Another thing we don't have that I miss, we don't have bears.
That is true. I would think
the Filipinos. He misses having a lot of big, fat white guys.
The Filipinos don't have bears because they're mostly no hair.
No hair, so, brown.
And pretty skinny.
There is a group of Filipinos.
Now that's what you should start, Filipino bears.
Well, there is a group of Filipino bears. They identify as bears. But their idea of bears are masculine, larger Filipino men.
Yeah.
But not hairy, because none of us are hairy.
Yeah. No, there's no...
In Filipino culture, gay means feminine. So if you are a masculine gay male, is what we would call them, they say they're bisexual. Now... they're not really bisexual because the last vagina they ever saw was the day they were born. but they still say they're bisexual because they want to denote that they are masculine, not feminine.
It's weird.
So that's the local. Right. So if you're online talking to a Filipino and he says he's bisexual, don't think that he's running around with girls. Yeah. Because that ain't it.
That's so funny. That's so funny. We'll have to import them for you. Some bears.
Well, that's why we're trying to do what we're doing with the retirement.
Move there you go. Kevin's a bear.
Yeah.
But we're in an open relationship, and I'm at a distinct disadvantage.
Yeah. He got the wrong end of that deal.
Yep, you got the wrong end of the stick. Are there any cons of living in Baguio City?
What can I think of? If having a business like ours, there's a lot of advantages. So we have pretty much what we wanted. We have our staff and all that. Now, if you were someone that's coming in and you're a couple, then you might be able to have a combined income enough to actually hire someone to clean for you, do your laundry, clean your house, cook for you, or even drive for you.
Oh, right.
So, like living, like I said, a lot
of
things
take a lot of time. So that staff can also help with that. So like if you need to do some sort of government business and get a permit or something, if you have staff to go stand in that line all day, then your life is a lot better.
So the con is, if you are coming as an individual and you choose to live an individualistic life, then it might be a little more difficult because there's going to be a whole lot of activities that you think normally would be fast or of a faster nature. Like, say, the example we had was buying a laptop. You'll get very impatient because your day is wasted just having to get things done.
Right.
Right.
So in our particular case, we see this as a con because some of our customers who are expats might have such problems where they can't really do a task because it'll take X amount of time.
Yeah, it'll take half their day to go get accomplish this one thing that you should be able to go online, but it's going to take up your time. But yeah, by having staff, it just someone that does some light cooking for you and does your housekeeping and that goes to the public market for you, that is only about 8,000 to 9,000 pesos, which is what, about
$200?
Yeah, a month.
A month.
$200 a month will give you someone to take care of you.
Wow. And
you can just enjoy your life.
So I have
Are there cons? Yes. But there's solutions to those cons. To get back to your question.
Wow. That's interesting. Because I have someone that cleans my apartment.
Uh-huh.
Every other week. Uh-huh. And we just gave her a raise. She didn't ask for a raise. We gave her a raise. And we pay her $110 every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and you're saying a month?
$200 a month.
For $200 a month, but
they come
clean
every day.
For you, they cook for you, and they come in every day.
Yeah, they come in 6 days a week. Give them one day off, 6 days a week.
6 days a week,
and do your chores. And do your chores and go places for you.
Right. Like, do your laundry, fold your clothes, put them away, clean your toilet. Go stand in line at the bank for you.
I'm putting Baguio on my list.
and Mark, here's the added advantage for gays. There are a lot of gays here that are much, much younger. So you know the story of the Birdcage in the Miami episode?
Yeah. Birdcage of the movie.
Where they have Hagedorn and Spartacus? You can have a Hagedorn.
You can have your own Hagedorn. Running around barefoot.
Buddy. Oh, God. This has been great. So in wrapping up, guys, what would you say to our audience if they're interested in moving to the Philippines in Baguio City?
Come and visit. Get your tourist visa. Well, you don't get your tourist visa until you've already gotten here. You have your passport. You already have everything you need except a plane ticket. That's all you need.
Come and visit. Stay with us at Ozark Bed and Breakfast.
Stay for a month. Stay for 6 months.
And ask all the questions you want, because we've lived here 8 years, well, 9 years at this point.
Yeah.
Enough to know a whole lot of things about our city and the country and share our experience with you more than what we've discussed today. And even get in touch with us and start chatting before you come. Ask us pointed questions. We don't mind answering them for you. We've done it. We've lived here. We can tell you honestly what's going on rather than say John Oliver,
yeah,
who's fed whatever propaganda the CIA has going on.
Yeah.
So, guys, where on social media can our audience find you guys? Do you have a website?
Facebook.
We're on pretty much every major social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram. Now I am on Mastodon. I am also on Quora.
As Ozark B&B.
Yeah. As Ozark, just type in on your browser, Ozark Baguio City. You'll find us. And my personal number is the store's number. Any customer that wants to contact us by dinosaur mode on the telephone, you get me directly.
Well, now I know where to find you.
Yes. And on the map, we are actually listed on the safe spaces for LGBT in this one map for the world. So yeah, go look us up and take the word of our customers, not just ourselves here today.
Yeah.
We've got enough reviews out there. There's over 500 plus reviews on our Airbnb, and we have over 7,000 followers on our Facebook page.
Wow.
It's a small number, but they are definitely regular customers.
Great. Thank you, guys. This was really wonderful. It was wonderful talking to you both.
Thank you for having us on.
Of course, you brought a lot to light. We've never, again, this is the first time in Asia that we've spoken to somebody. And the Philippines is a great start. It's a great place to start. So thanks again for everything and for all of your time that you've committed to us. And we really appreciate it.
Well, good.
Well, thank you guys. You're very welcome. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.